That is not the point I'm making.
True.
You get
don't
it?
Make that point.
You like to catch people in Okara fish, get boy all around the world. Mr. Wickham,
you've ever eaten from him?
What I'm saying, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir.
Mr. P have a point.
Fair enough, fair enough. You had a third point that you wanted to make. Please go ahead and make it.
Okay.
I got the Mr. P point. You shouldn't send home two people from the same house and then tell them come back for mitigation.
Listen, I am saying this here now.
Right. So what's the third point?
I spoke to a minister, three moderators, and some people at lectures and certain places, I think. And I don't understand it. I will let you, who is a political scientist and who know everything, you even know who's going to win next election already. So I believe you know.
You don't know?
No, I talking, I going down, where are you going?
You feel very good,
isn't
it?
You know where you should eat, where you shouldn't drink, where you know everything. But let me explain to you what I'm asking you, as you know everything to help me. This
yeah,
help,
tell me.
I understand there's something going on called 2020, the gathering.
Right.
You know about it?
I've heard about it, yes.
Okay. Do you know who's the minister responsible for it?
I have no idea.
Which ministry is on it?
I don't know. Maybe the office of the Prime Minister.
Sorry?
The office of the Prime Minister. I don't know. I never thought about it.
You never thought about it?
I never thought about it, no.
Okay. Do you know how much it's going to cost the taxpayer?
Sorry, I never thought about that either.
Okay, well, let me ask you another question. You remember what you said when the former government voted for $6 million for the 50th year of anniversary? You remember what you said?
What you said?
You remember the licks you put in the government?
I don't remember putting a licks in government.
Listen, Mr. Wickham.
The 50th anniversary was the anniversary we're celebrating.
And forget, get a tape recorder and put the tapes there.
But you tell me what I said because I don't recall that.
Then they had the opening in Independence Square. A lady by the name of Miss McLean was responsible for the 50th year of independence.
Mm-hmm.
And you went after the government. You and all federal prime minister, it was a waste of money. And all
so
types of things.
We were the only two people that went after the government.
No, but I calling you and the
sir,
prime minister.
Sir, that is everybody to go after the
and
government.
Now you are who, the same Mr. Wickham,
well,
that have something going on, not anniversary, the 50th anniversary is a big time, even in normal people's life. But $6 million was too much to spend in that. But you know that you don't know what's spending in 2020.
Alvin, I will give you my response to this. I'm not going to defend one versus the other because I really don't recall any opposition to the 50th anniversary spending. I would just say this.
You will find, Alvin. Slow down.
Well, okay, maybe I did oppose. I don't remember. I don't recall.
Oh, you don't remember.
Let's say for the purposes of argument, I said that I was opposed to it. But I will say this to you. You will find, Alvin, right, that there are a number of things which the Motley administration can do that the Stewart administration could not do. You know the fundamental difference between the two is that we had confidence in one and we do not have confidence in the other.
Okay, but how come?
But that makes all the difference. And no, if you recall, if you listen to me as carefully, Alvin, if you listen to me as carefully as you claim to, you will recall that when in the wake of that 2013 result, when everybody was saying that your polls was wrong, I was saying to you, the Democratic Labour Party has won a battle, but the Democratic Labour Party cannot win the war.
I am not going there.
No, I am going there because I am saying to you that a part of the problem that you had with the 50th anniversary is that there was so little confidence in government by then. It was difficult for them to do anything right.
To celebrate your 50th birthday.
But that's the point. That's the point.
No, don't do
under normal circumstances, people would rejoice in a moment like that, but we were celebrating it at a time when there was no confidence in the government. People felt as though they were beaten down.
Wait, Mr. Wickham.
With you and the NSRL.
Let's forget the Barbados Labour
Party. And the solid waste tax.
Let's deal with you.
How much are the taxes they had?
Wait, listen. Let's deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
What you was opposed to it?
Sir, I don't recall being opposed to it.
Mr. Wickham, you was opposed to it.
Well, I don't know. As I told you, for purposes of argument, if I was opposed to it,
you want me to tell you the things that one is this.
Let me let you wrap up the conversation because you're gonna still make space for Straker Standing Tree.
So, what is this? I can let John or whoever on to tell. Let me call back after the show and remind you of the things that you say.
You ain't got to remember. I did not say very many flattering things about the former administration, sir. Because it was not a lot. I did not say many flattering things about the former administration.
You didn't say my family things?
Right, I didn't.
You didn't?
Because I had no use for the vast majority of them. And it looks like the majority of people ain't had no use for them neither.
Because you have a good day.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling, Alvin. Good afternoon and welcome. Good morning and welcome, sorry. Good morning and welcome. Let me just clarify that I saw the WhatsApp message from someone regarding visitors being quarantined. I think this was what gave rise to concerns. There were two people who came out of China, as is stated on this programs. However, those individuals were not quarantined. They were quarantined, but quarantined at home. And the point is made in the document by the chief medical officer, Dr. George, said that the people were being quarantined and it was more a process than a suspicion. So they were not being held under suspicion of having the virus, but the process was that they would be checked daily to see whether or not any symptoms manifest themselves because of the place from which they travel. So let's be clear. There is no one that had suspicions. There were people who came from China. And as a result of coming from China, you check the temperature daily to ensure that they don't start to manifest any symptoms. And I think, technically speaking, that is the reference that is being made to quarantine. So to clarify, it is not what the lady was hearing, but it was a technical term that is being used to monitor individuals from China. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm great, sir. And yourself?
Yeah. Mine not too bad, you know.
I'm blessed, as they say.
I don't know who blesses you. I don't think you believe in who is giving blessings. Yeah, don't know where you get that. Blessing from France.
The concept of universal salvation says that blessings are available to all.
So, okay.
So maybe mine did come from France. Who knows?
Yeah. Now, let me say this. I am going to stir up something this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to be very patient and use your reasoning. Now, Plastic Bag has a calypso. The lyrics is very powerful. And that calypso is that you should know your heroes. You remember that calypso?
Mm, that's right.
But I can add something to that. That you should not only know your heroes, you should know how to become a hero. You following me?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people don't know how to become a hero.
Right.
Now, I say that to say this.
Right.
It seems like news coming
up. Yeah, can you stick a pin? You can hold on. And we can finish the conversation after the news. Sorry about that. I was hoping that we could have gotten in a full call, but it is now 54 minutes past the hour of 11. We have to take a break for the regional roundup. Do stay with us. We'll be right back. Good morning. Well, good afternoon now. Welcome back to the post-lunch edition of Down to Brass Tacks. The call number is 431790. And you can also email me at peter.w.wakeham@gmail.com. You can use the chat at 266-IVOB. The fishcake man who was speaking to me earlier, I don't know if he can be called Ras Fishcakes or Ras something, but he objects to being referred to as the Fishcake Boy. So someone online, he messaged online and said he would appreciate that he is given some level of deference. If you want to call him the Fishcake Man, that's fine, but he's definitely not any Fishcake Boy. He is a big man. I have to admit that when I'm referred to as a young boy, I'm quite flattered. So you can refer to me as a young boy anytime. I'm happy with that reference, but just not him. Are you there?
Good afternoon.
Okay. We were having a conversation with someone else before we went to the news, so I'm assuming that we lost that caller because he was supposed to hold on. That's not you, is it?
No, it's not me.
It's not you. Okay, anyhow, welcome to the program, sir. Go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling Brastad to say that I'm not entirely satisfied with what the Ministry of Health is doing to protect Barbados from the coronavirus.
Okay.
I'm saying that they're using the excuse that they're not going to do anything to hurt trade or tourism. But I believe a travel ban for people who have traveled to China within the last 3 months should be instituted.
How are you going to do that exactly,
sir? For this simple reason, that except you're a national, where you cannot refuse entry to a national, And a national who was traveling to China within that period should be quarantined in Barbados and not put on under observation at home. I believe that they should be quarantined because there's too little that is known about this virus to be taking chances with it. Why not follow the example of Grenada and Bahamas? Those are tourist destinations also. And they have instituted bans on travel for persons from China.
Okay.
China is not one of our main source markets.
Okay, sir, stick a pin. How exactly are you going to ban a person coming from China?
You're out of an abundance of caution. You don't want it to land.
Sir, I'm asking you, how are you going to do it? How are you going to operationalize that?
By saying that persons who have traveled to China within the last...
Sir, do we have direct flights from China?
No, I don't.
Right. So how exactly are you going to achieve that?
But their travel history and their travel records and all that.
Yeah, but if I'm traveling from New York, I could easily have been traveling from China. How are you going to know?
Well, they need to have systems in place.
Systems are you going to have in place? And I'm saying that what Antigua and Grenada and those, there's a moot point. You can't ban someone coming from somewhere that you don't have direct flights to.
Agree.
Right, but so I'm saying that to say that you think that Barbados should have done it is essentially to say that you think that Barbados should play the game of semantics. It doesn't make sense doing it because ultimately, if I'm coming from China and I know there's a travel ban in place, all I would do is ensure that my itinerary reflects I spent my holiday in New York or London. I've been to China, and the only way that I can get to China, I've been to China via New York, and I understand you can go via London, but ultimately, when you do that, your itinerary reflects the fact that you came from one of those two places. And this other thing you're talking about by quarantining someone at home, what is being done ultimately is that the person is being effectively quarantined in that they are being checked for symptoms on a daily basis.
Yeah, but they're being exposed to other persons either in their neighborhood or at home in the same house they live in. And I'm saying that quarantine should be strict. Okay,
fair enough, sir. Your point is taken. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
Okay, what method I'm going to propose, there was a point in time where there were some Nigerians who came here illegally, and they were held at the Barbados Defense Force base at Paragon. Now, the government should have facilities like that same facility available and ready in case that we have persons who come here and the screening suggests that there may be a suspicion that they may be exposed to that virus. And I'm saying that what Mr. Beckles came on the radio and spoke about on Sunday, and he did it before in Brastad, where he said that we have this facility, quarantine facility at the airport, that can only house two persons at a time. I believe that's not adequate. Two persons at a time, if you come...
Fair enough, sir. Hold on a second. You're not comfortable with the facility at Emory. The facility at the Emory does nothing.
No. I'm not saying not comfortable, but I'm saying that we need to have more.
Oh, you want more? Okay. So yes, you want a whole building.
Out of abundance of caution, you want a whole building. Instead of having the cases.
What's your training and your background, sir?
I'm actually an attorney at law.
Okay. All right. No, I was just wondering because you sounded like a medical specialist that dealt with epidemiology or some kind of infectious disease control. How would you feel if someone who was a medical doctor called and told you about the way in which you should approach your law practice? Sir?
I understand anything. The same thing the doctors read, I read.
Yeah, well, the problem is that you're not a doctor, though.
No, I'm not claiming to be. I wouldn't want to be.
Right. But and I'm saying to you, sir,
that we need more facilities. And there's one that could be made ready, the one that I referred to at the
party. All right, sir. Thanks for calling. We're going to run. This is Dr. Brastax. Good afternoon and welcome to the program. 434-1790.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, good afternoon.
How are you today?
Not too bad.
Okay. Now,
I thought this was Cyprian talk? There for a moment.
I'm sorry?
I thought it was Cyprian.
No, it's not at all.
But you seem amused by what was being said just now.
In some way.
Okay.
All right. Now, why call it because of Glenn Murray starting the program with the bust of statue?
Mm-hmm.
And it prompted me to call to say, I wonder when some of our workers are going to really take some pride and some work. getting things done in this country. We have a serious problem with how work is being done. And nobody seems to want to address it. I remember some years back, there was a problem with a bridge somewhere in St. George. And then Prime Minister, former Prime Minister Tom Adams drove to the area one morning and carried out a check and inspection. And his words weren't too nice to the workers. But within 3 days, the work was done and finished. And, you know, the funny thing about that, it was taken about months before it was done. But he got a tip off. And he went there one morning. And about 3-4 days, the work was done. Now, I say that to say this. We have serious problems with Water Authority. I wonder when they're going to get their act together. Because it's that same road that they're now refurbishing at the Fishcake Man talk about. You know, after paving that road, they went and then attempt to do some repairs on the same road after it was paved. Then, I think this is what caused the halt now, because they now realize that there wasn't no discussion dialogue, so we got to have now to do the necessary repairs before we do the paving. That is the problem we have departments that really do not in any way kind of discuss things, what's going on. We have it with the Water Authority, the Light and Power, many other departments. They just come and do as they like. I can't get it figured out. That's one. Two. Minister Duguid came about 9 months ago. I walked the road of the Jordan's Plantation in St. George. And in his words, he said it was very deplorable. How can someone be driving on this road? But it has further now deteriorated. And after months of down there fooling around, I really compare my workers for this kind of the time for the workers going on down there. It's work that would take about approximately 5 to 6 weeks has gone in out about a year and a half. And that brings me now to the point in Blaze Hill. Out of Blaze Hill, going to Codrington College. It's going into 3 years, they're doing a piece of road there and a bridge. I wonder when the authorities are going to look into these things, because on your program yesterday, one of the ministers, they were talking about the situation of funds within the government. But how are you going to look at funds in the government or try to save or whatever, and you have this kind of lackadaisical approach to work going on in the island? It puzzles me.
Probably puzzles all of us.
Eh?
It puzzles all of us.
That's the truth. Going down to my hill into Gummy Hill outside of Alaya Court, you can imagine some work was going on there, road repairs. When Glenn said a cone was placed in the hole. I one night driving there not realizing I might have dropped into one of those holes. I figured the suspension all dismantled. But you can imagine that was going on for approximately 2-3. I don't even think it's finished quite yet. We have serious problems in this country, and I have to put blame on the supervisors of managers who look after these people. And it's going on and on and on, and nobody seems to want to put a stop to it. I am calling out on Prime Minister Mia Motley, because she seems to get things done, to look into these things. Make ministers accountable, managers, supervisors, down to the average worker. Maybe we can go on with this thing for another 50 years. Things that can be done in 3 weeks, taking 3 years. Taxpayers' money. No, I want to correct Alvin, and I want to help you.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
The South Coast had a problem, but it seems that Alvin wanted the to remain on the street. But thank God, with the vision of certain people, is off the street. And if you recall, what was one of the main problems, there was a piece of equipment called a pump that they were awaiting or had never ordered. And then after order was awaiting. Within a matter of, I'm not politically inclined to say B or D or otherwise, but I'd like to be fair. within a matter of a month or so, the equipment was sourced and installed. Also, rerouting of the pipes and what's not. That was a help to take the storage off the street. And I thank the people. Because I don't like really driving on the street with no storage.
Don't think anybody like driving on the street with storage.
So I tell Alvin that.
It's not pleasant.
You know, he's always quick to jump up these things.
All
right. You know, my brother?
All right, sir. But, you know, you make a very strong point that we need to do better where repairs and maintenance is concerned. And in many instances, a lot of people who work for government especially believe that you can give a poor day's work and still receive a full day's pay. I think that's the kernel of what you're arguing. It is something that is not good enough. All right?
It's not good enough because it's
right.
That spares money.
Agreed.
All right.
Okay, sir. Take thanks care. A lot. Got a couple of WhatsApp messages regarding this coronavirus. One person is saying it's no longer a China-based contagion. Is the caller suggesting that we ought to test everyone that comes out of everywhere, or alternatively, that we should perhaps ban all traffic coming from places that have connections to China, like New York, London, and Miami? The gentleman on the WhatsApp is making a very valid point. If it is no longer a China-based contagion, the idea of saying that you are banning people coming from China and so on, unless you have a direct flight from there, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And certainly you can't ban everybody else. Mr. Moderator, shame on you. You're trained in many things, but you have knowledge of a lot. There are lots of people who would offer without training. How do we forget a mother's and grandfather's treatment for different ailments? Look, I just think that we need to be careful in this regard. There's a lot of hysteria surrounding this coronavirus. There's a lot of misinformation surrounding it. I am guided by the Chief Medical Officer of Health, in whom I have considerable confidence, the Minister of Health, similarly, confidence. And I'm also guided by dictates and statements that have been issued by PAHO, WHO, that has been offering guidance on the situation as time has passed. I do think that the alarm is unnecessary. We should listen to medical experts. This gentleman was a lawyer. That's good for him. But listen to the doctors. And if the doctors are saying this is a course of action we need to follow, let's follow it. And let's not start getting all hysterical in a way that is meaningless because we read something online and we believe ourselves overnight to be an epidemiologist. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm hearing you. All right. We're going to use this as the opportunity to wrap up for this part of the program. Remember, we still continue until 2. We still have a lot more conversation to have, and we do hope that we can have our continuing conversation with you. Remember, we will be with you as the afternoon continues, and we're here until 2 o'clock. This is the point at which, however, we need to give way to a gentleman called Stetson Babb. Stetson doesn't appear to be getting any older as time passes, but I am trying to see if we can keep him here as long as possible until we get to the 12:30 hour, because that's the point at which he comes in and he reads the latest news. So, in the meantime, I leave you with the background music of, I believe it is Arturo Tappin, who will take you up to 12:30. So, this has been Down to Brass Tacks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're with you until 2 o'clock. So we have just over an hour of the program remaining. You have several lines on which you can call, 434-1790. You can also email us or email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. You can also use the WhatsApp, which is 266-IVOB. Those are various facilities that we can use. And you can chat with us on whatever might be on your mind. As we spoke, I was seeing an email from someone regarding the situation at the Barbados Licensing Authority. However, I am unable to access the mail, and I will make an effort to pursue it further as the program goes on. I suspect someone complains about the situation at the Barbados Licensing Authority. I believe it is the most complained of government department. Invariably, there's always a line. Printers are never working, and there's always some reason for a delay. So I suspect that this is a concern that she's also having. Quite a few WhatsApp messages regarding the coronavirus. You know, many people are saying that we need to keep calm, They were happy that the report in the latest news spoke to the situation in Grenada and confirmed or erased any doubt regarding the misinformation. In the past, when we were dealing with viral outbreaks, it was hard enough having one or two legitimate sources of information. The challenge we have now is that the internet is there and everyone is an expert on everything. And it is difficult to know what is good news, what is proper information, what is solid information, and what is just rumor. And when you sit in this chair, often it becomes difficult to know which one you filter, which one you keep, which one you put on the air, which one you say nothing about. So, 434-1790, good afternoon and welcome.
Good afternoon.
All right, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. This is Sandy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Sandy, thought you were supposed to be messaging me.
Well, I thought you said that you would not be here till another fortnight.
I thought so too.
I heard you this morning.
But Dennis smiled and blessed me with an additional day this week. So,
okay.
Yeah, somebody had to travel, unfortunately. So,
well, you know, I would have had to call today because once it's Tuesday and you're on, I call.
Well, I'm happy to hear
now,
that.
Now, Peter, my
So, Sandy, before you go, can you promise that you will leave your contact information with the producer
sure.
when we come off? Or alternatively, if you can WhatsApp me, because I seem to have misplaced your contact number.
Yeah, because I sent it to you, I think, eons ago.
Yes, you did. Right, you did. You did.
Yes. Yeah. So, I need, because my panel discussion is coming up, as I told you, the 23rd okay. of March.
Right, and I'll be there.
Yeah. Right. Okay, what I want to find out, Peter, have you, like, driven around, well, more so, like, the environs of town? I'm noticing now people are hanging their garbage bags, more so like the supermarket bags, with garbage onto poles, fences. If you go by the Esso roundabout in Fontibel, their garbage bags with stuff being hung on poles. Is it? Am I thinking right?
I don't know why. I see it too, and I thought it was a thing. What was?
It's a new thing.
I don't know. I know in Trinidad, sometimes we used to hang our garbage to the fence so that mm-hmm. dogs couldn't get at it.
No, but this is not only the fence. Well, down by SBI, they have it on the fence. And I suppose that yeah. the person's the same. I'm hanging it here so that the garbage truck will pick it up.
No, I think right. in our case, we were advised that we should hang it on the fence because the garbage would pick it up.
Right,
because the dogs couldn't reach it, yeah.
Correct, but this is not that I'm only seeing. I'm mm-hmm. seeing, like, in just places out of the way, people, you remember how they used to hang sneakers?
Yeah, on the lanes.
Well, that is what they're doing with garbage. Now, to allude to the other point the guy was making to you about, I didn't think it was roads, but I am speaking about the grass that is cut. Who is policing the police? So I give you, Peter, a mile and a half to cut the grass. You leave it there. Who comes back for it? Is there 3-4 days after? Somebody has to be accountable for that, Peter. Yeah. And that guy was saying exactly what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke about this, I think, some weeks ago with Sanka. So years and years ago, there was a donkey cart that used to come and collect the grass. But it seems we have taken 2 steps back. But it is more noticeable, Peter, in
Sandy,
the country.
Sadly, I stopped seeing those donkey carts when I was at primary school.
Pardon?
I stopped seeing those donkey carts when I was at primary school.
Me too.
But wait, but you're dating yourself because you make a reference to something that stopped all in the 1970s.
Yeah, but I'm saying that to say, Peter, we have gone forward, haven't we?
Well, yes.
So we should have better things than a donkey cart.
Mm-hmm.
But we have these new things, but yeah, I'm not seeing them put into practice.
Mm-hmm.
Where I drive in the country, I mean, it is ridiculous. One area down, going down, I think it was going up St. Joseph. It was so, I mean, and a car behind me stopped. And we actually had to knock the grass out of the road.
Mm.
I mean, you know, and well, don't worry about the potholes. So I am asking you, who are the people who's supposed to be accountable for these things?
I don't know. Some time ago, I was told it was the Transport and Works Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
and that they basically had gangs, and they were supposed to coordinate their gangs with the NCC gangs. Mm-hmm. The NCC gangs were responsible for clearing, and the authorities' gangs were responsible for picking the stuff up. Mm-hmm. And if there wasn't coordination, then we would have this situation. Gone are the days of the donkey cart, when the one man on the donkey cart used to do everything, basically. He used to pick up, to carry away.
Who's doing that now?
My feeling really, Sandy, is that that's something that should perhaps be contracted out to a contractor, as opposed mm-hmm. to having a government department. I don't know, that's something that NCC needs to be doing. NCC should be maintaining parks and doing beautification and stuff.
Not only that, Peter, picking up the residue, the little pieces that are left when they pick up the garbage. I drove behind a garbage truck from St. Peter to practically Black Rock yesterday, and all of the garbage, and people were talking about it, they pick up the garbage bags, empty the bins into the truck, but they leave like 10 cups or plates hanging around on the side.
Mm-hmm.
So that is still littered there for another day, and another day more will come.
Yeah.
But my next point, Pete, I know you're not going to be on this with me, but I have been really thinking about the children in this country. I really do think, Peter, that every child in every school, and I know what you're going to tell me already, but I will say, they need to have a Bible. I know years ago you told me I should not teach my children all things bright and beautiful. Remember you told me that?
I did, yeah.
Right. Never mind, you learned it when you were a child.
Mm-hmm.
However, I really do think, Peter, and I mean, you can give me your views on it, I really do think the time has come that every child should possess a Bible in school, those children Bibles. I really, honestly, I mean, from my gut, feel that way.
What was it in the Bible that you want them to read?
I mean, what is it, Peter? Don't try to get the
way. No, I'm asking, curious. I'm not being facetious.
I mean, what I want them to learn to read, Peter, you went to school, and I'm sure you used the your aunt or your grandmother or somebody read to you from the Bible, so don't come to pretend you don't know.
We read the Bible in Sunday school and church. But
correct. And what did you read?
I don't remember anything profound, quite frankly. That's part of the reason that I don't know that it's something that children need to be doing. I don't really remember a lot of what I read that impacted on me as a person.
Peter, whether or not everything will impact on a person. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, I think it needs to be a tool, just how we have to have
a tool to achieve what?
To achieve what, Peter? When you went to Sunday school, which I know where you went, what, you didn't achieve nothing from it?
I mean, I got to see my friends.
No, besides that.
You mean in terms of my spiritual development? I wouldn't say that, no.
Today.
No, I don't think
so. I want to hear your feelings today.
And then I can tell you, I mean, part of my thing, Sandy, when I went to church, I went to church as long as I did because I thought that if I didn't, people would think I was a bad person. I'll be honest. And I would say that the majority of my adult life that I continued with it, I did it because I wanted my parents to think that I was a good person. Mm-hmm. And I wanted other people to see me to go in church and think I was a good person. But as to tell you honestly how I benefited from being there, I am at a loss. Because the whole project didn't make a lot of sense to me for a long time.
So your views really, and you don't think it is really a necessity?
I don't really think so. And you know what, Sandy? I had the good fortune many years ago. I shared a house with a young man who was raised as an atheist. And I watched his values and stuff like that, and they were no different to mine. And that really struck me that, I mean, and I know his mother and father are both atheists. I speak to them. And it doesn't appear as though he was raised any different to me. It's just that I was going to church on Sunday and he wasn't. I don't have a difficulty, and I think that it's important that parents should give their children the opportunity to be exposed to the same religious teachings that they were.
But that's my feeling.
Yeah, but the question is whether that's to be done in school. And I feel that a school is a place that I should go and learn my ABCs.
Because it's not being done in the home. Okay, I mean, yes, there are homes that do it. Don't get me wrong. Just like how there are homes that train their children and there are homes that don't. And that's why I was listening just now to comments from Marsha. That is why sometimes the children do not have that fundamental and those basic values from home. So that's why I'm coming to this school, because a lot of things now seem to be, you know, school is really the number one teacher. yes, I quite agree that, yes, children can eventually, when they, so be it, like you did, you eventually did not bother to, I don't think, you go to church.
No, I don't think, I don't go. I go to drop my mother.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So even if you come up with a tool, right, it is like if you come up eating ice cream, and when you get, you become an older person, you can make that decision if you want to eat ice cream or not, if you're, especially if you become lactose intolerant.
Yeah. And Sandy, I don't have a problem with that. Look, I don't have a problem with young people having that exposure.
Correct.
But this is my problem with the Bible. Sandy, anyone that you have a conversation with, generally speaking, you have conversations with people about the Bible, it is a difficult book to read. And that's right, a lot of people don't read it. I mean, I quote from it a lot, and I have to admit that I probably abuse it, quite frankly, because I quote from the Bible a lot in support of arguments that I am making. But generally speaking, it's a difficult book to sit down and read from cover to cover. It's boring. It's boring, Sandy. And then the other thing is that the language in which it is written. I'm reading from the first book of the Bible here, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the heaven was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." What have I gained from that phrase?
Peter, we can talk from now till
the coming. No, the point I'm making, Sandy, is that when I hear people saying, go to church because you will learn good things, I keep saying, is it not better to consolidate the good things that I ought to learn in church into some kind of a document? Like the book that they have in school now on values, human values. Consolidate
those. You told
me
once, Peter, which I agreed with you at that time. You told me some years ago you told me not to teach my children all things bright and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You told me that what the school should have is a book on, I think it was life skills.
Right, human values.
And that I do agree with also.
And that, is there not one on the curriculum for CXC now?
Yes, I think there is.
Education and human values.
But
And this is why I think that, unfortunately, Christians are not going to allow us to let go of the Bible. But I am saying that ultimately, when you give a child the Bible, invariably, you will not achieve a whole lot because most children are not going to read it.
Well, that I agree with.
And I had several over the years.
Some children don't even read the average book.
Right, precisely. And as I told you, the Bible is more challenging because it is boring and it's difficult to read. You know, and it's telling you things in language that doesn't really make sense, like the one I just read. I mean, who speaks like that anyhow?
Yeah, but a lot of the modern day versions now are a little easier to read. And even if the child...
That's the New International Version, Sandy, that I was reading from. That is not the King James Version.
Yeah, but Peter, there are even more modern versions than that.
Parents
are the first teachers. I'm not only talking about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that parents need to impart and not to sit down and read the Bible because nobody can do that. But, you know, parts in the Bible, you know, like it can do all things through Christ, all that type of thing. And I'm sure you learned those things when you were small.
Right, and I misunderstood a lot of those things because when you tell me that I can do all things through Christ, I have this idea that I am to pray to God to do things for me. So the whole idea of me having the power and ability to do things for myself is something that I had to learn later on. So you believe that you can go to your knees and you can pray and things will happen. The idea that you really have to be self-reliant and go to school and study and learn and help yourself is something that, unfortunately, a number of people don't learn in school. This whole idea of creation, you know, the Bible has a position in relation to creation that science has subsequently proven is false. And I'm saying you create confusion in the child of a mind when you go to the child and then you tell them in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then you say to that child, okay, I want you to sit down in a biology or a chemistry class, or I want to sit down in a natural history class, and I want you to learn about the evolution of the earth. You automatically create problems. And the question that I keep asking is, what is the benefit to mankind? And if it is that the educators now have come upon a book or a science of human values that essentially takes out the fundamental principles of Islam, the fundamental principles of Christianity, of the Baha'i faith, of Rastafari, the fundamental principles of all of these, and brings them together in a broad document that is user-friendly. And you can give that to your child and read it and say, great, this is the kind of person that you want to be in society.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are mothers and fathers who will give their child the Bible and then go to a fet. Right?
Yeah.
Just sit down and read it. You read it and you will get what you need in there. And then they will go to a fet. Or I will go and I will engage in behavior which is inappropriate.
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to read the Bible to do that.
And I'm saying right precisely. You know, where do my values come from? I think that my values are pretty decent. Where do my values and morals come from? Right? And I don't read it myself. As I said, I read it to get things out of it so that I can terrorize people on the air. But I mean, the reality of the situation is that.
So, Peter, you're saying without the Bible, mm-hmm. then you really became a better person. Would
I believe
you say
I
that?
Did, yeah.
You did.
Because I don't struggle with things like understanding slavery. One of the big challenges I have with Christianity is the role it played in supporting slavery, the role it played in oppressing women over the years. I don't have those challenges. So when I read about women being silent in church, or when I hear about keeping slaves, and people saying to me, oh, you know, the concept of slavery was different then than now, all that kind of abject nonsense. I don't have these debates because my thing is the whole thing is a load of nonsense. Right? You're not supposed to keep slaves. You're not supposed to have property. Women and men are equal. These are things that we ought to understand as human beings. Mm-hmm. Put that in a book and give that to a child. And don't tell me about giving them a Bible where they got sift through and pull out the stuff that should follow and the stuff that shouldn't follow. Mm-hmm. Corporal punishment is another issue.
We are engaged
in a constant battle regarding whether it is appropriate to beat a child or not. I mean, the Bible seems to make
Correct.
It clear. You can beat your child and beat your slave and beat your
Correct.
Ox and your ass and your wife
Correct.
Too. Right?
Mm-hmm. That is another conversation for another time.
So this is the reason that I often appear hostile to the idea, because I think that alone doesn't help a lot. There were some really nice books I read in Sunday mm-hmm. school. I used to get them from England in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I used to pull out little nice stories and interesting and whatnot. You read these stories, you know, the story of Moses and, you know, parting the Red Sea and all this kind of thing. And I mean, yeah, they're entertaining, but what do I take away from it as a person?
So, Peter, you're considered not a Christian.
I believe I'm a little bit more than that,
now,
too.
You know, a lot of people tell you, no, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, no, I'm not a Christian.
You're not.
I'm not a Christian. Sorry, Mommy, I know you don't like to hear me saying that, but I'm not a Christian.
I will keep my comments. So, Peter, I'm going to let you go to the next caller.
All right, Sadie.
I just wanted to let you know mainly that I thought you would have been away for a fortnight.
Yes.
So I'm glad you were here. So you will be here next week.
I will be here next week for your thing. And I'm happy that you engaged me on this religious issue.
Yeah, because I All Things Bright and Beautiful stuck with me. They think you told me that about 4 years ago, four or five years ago.
Yeah.
Right? But I still teach my children All Things Bright and Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You still do?
Okay.
So the rich man in his castle, the poor man at his gate, he made them high and low and ordered their estate. Important thing for children to remember, so you know your place in life.
Well, listen, send me the WhatsApp.
All right. Please.
Okay, have a wonderful
we'll
day.
Do. Okay, Melandy, look forward to chatting with you. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey, yes, ma'am, how are you?
I'm back again to clear up something.
Sure.
I did say that I heard on the BBC with my own two ears a female broadcaster on Tuesday last week said Britain had closed Heathrow and Gatwick to in and out any traffic from China. She also went on to say and Germany had done the same thing. Then I mentioned it to Mr. Bell, to the people in the studio on Sunday. One person who I think might have been Mr. George, Dr. George, he said, no, that was not true. So that's why I wanted to clear up one. And the other thing, I never said that why we should close the doors doors to any people coming in or out of the country. That broadcaster also said, if Britain and Germany have done it, what about other places? And another thing about it is, you did say when it was talking about traveling to and for. Now, the furthest place I went in Europe was the to Holland. But part of my treatment when I was in England, at the clinic where I was going to, there was a lady who traveled 200 miles twice per week into London.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
I'm just telling you that. And then again, the other thing I wanted to know, as the lawyer asked me, doctors are not perfect, and I can tell you that. Lots of people can tell you that, and Shelley, we're better than anybody else, will tell you how doctors are not perfect. But another thing I want to say is you do not have to be a doctor to use your common sense and your intelligence.
Thank you very much for calling, ma'am. I have a message here from gentleman Tim Slinger, who is well known to all of us. Peter, just wanted to clarify an issue referred to in your program regarding garbage being hung on the fence in the immediate area of Esso Fontibel gas station. This is actually the work of a mental patient who lives in the adjoining President Kennedy Drives. He makes a habit every day of picking up garbage from anywhere and he places it on the fence. It would not be fair to accuse residents in the adjoining area of taking garbage to a new trend. And I want to thank you, Tim. That was a conversation I was having with Sandy just now. And she was making the point that this garbage was appearing on the fence. I was saying to her that I know in Trinidad we used to hang garbage on the fence. Now we understand it's actually the work of a mental patient. So it's no longer a thing. It's just the work of somebody who is a bit mentally unstable that has been expressing himself in that way. Yep, that's it. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.